Ladies and gentlemen,
this is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Gamertag Radio. And on this episode, we have Ariana Manuel Pena and also Paris Lily. They're going to be talking about Blue Prince. I know this game, everybody's talking about it. It's been getting great, great reviews. And this is their review about the game. It's a great conversation. Make sure to check it out. All right. For those who are listening, make sure to head over to GamertagRadio.com. Listen to our past episodes. Also, you can find us on any podcast app. Just search for Gamertag Radio. We're there. Post comments if you want on Spotify. Share the content. Send us questions, all that stuff. You could do it through there too. But if you would like to be part of our fan mail, here's how you could be part of the show.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
All right, so we're going to go straight to the Blue Prince review. Once again, everybody, thank you for listening to this episode. Check it out.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
So, thank you, Danny, for introing Paris a nice conversation, because I'm very excited to talk more about Blue Prince, and I guess my only official review. I won't be doing one on my own channel. And the reason why is because it's really hard to talk about this game by yourself. So thank you, Paris, for joining me for this part of the episode. What are your quick thoughts on Blue Prince? And maybe just give us a quick synopsis of what you would describe the puzzle game as.
I don't know how quick this is going to be, but... I'll start this off by saying this. Blue Prince, as of today, we're recording this on April 13th, 2025, is my game of the year so far. This is the best game that I've played so far this year. And it's just because it's so unique in its approach. So Blue Prince. I swear to God, it took me a week to realize that's what it meant.
Oh, really? But, I kept hearing blueprints, like drafting blueprints. Right, and so when I saw it spelled out Blueprince, I was confused.
Yeah. So
I'm
going to be very careful to not spoil anything, because I'm of the mind that the best experience is you discovering all this stuff on your own. So In as quick as possible way I can, you are essentially getting this inheritance of this mansion, this estate. And there are 46 rooms, and you have to, it's essentially a roguelike where you do a run where you only have so many steps that you can take from room to room. You essentially have to blueprint, discover new rooms, decide which one that you're going to do. Am I going to open a hallway? Am I going to open the kitchen? Something like that. And you're going to continue down there. There's various puzzles and mysteries along the way. There's items that you have to find and discover, which will unlock new mysteries and puzzles and new doors and rooms that you'll be able to get into. The ultimate goal of this is, like I said, there's 45 rooms, but then there's the magical 46th room. And you have to chain certain events together to be able to discover this 46th room. And like I said, you only have so many steps that you can take during a run. Once you get to a quote unquote dead end where you can no longer unlock a new room, that ends your day. And then you have to start a new run. And now this is where a lot of notes and screenshots come in. You need to document your each run, so that you understand the items that you've discovered, items that you may need to get the next time you're in that scenario, the various puzzles that you'll run into. And this will help you navigate. And there's RNG in this. So you can't just, I get X, Y, and Z and boom, I'm going to get the 46th room. Some RNG does play a factor in this, but it's unlocking these mysteries. And I'm very curious of how you feel about this. When you first start playing it, you're like, huh?
Mm-hmm.
I don't get it. And as you continue to go, you're like, oh man, there's levels to this thing. And it gets way deeper than you realize, to when I did not get to room 46 until my 51st run. That's how long it took me. Yeah. Wow. But it was so satisfying to be able to do this. And I originally started playing this on Steam. So I've actually switched now. I'm doing a whole new run now starting on Xbox. But it's just very satisfying that you gotta use your critical thinking. You gotta note take. You gotta piece the clues together. You gotta sit and think about some of these puzzles that you're doing and going how to unlock them. I'm like, you might discover a magnifying glass. Well, what the hell do I need this for? And then it's in three runs later, you realize, oh my God, this is what I need a magnifying glass. Like, it's so freaking good. It is so good because it's so unique that there's nothing else like it currently that you can play. Like I said, it's a puzzler. It's a roguelike. It's a mystery. There's so many different levels to this game that I love it. I absolutely love it. And even once you complete a run, you're not done. That's the other thing. You definitely will have incentives to go back and want to continue to play it because, again, there's mysteries as to all of it. Again, I'm trying to be as broad as I can because I don't want to spoil it for people. I suggest, and I know I'm talking a lot, Reese, so I'm sorry, but you can jump good. And give your perspective. But I want people to, because I had no clue. I had no freaking clue what anybody else was doing. And I was doing all this on my own. Like I said, I had a PC code that I didn't even start playing right away. It wasn't until like a week after I had it, I started playing it. The hell is this? I don't get it at first. And then I went back to it. And then it just like unlocked, the floodgates opened for me. And then I was just completely hooked on it. And I started to realize what I was doing. And now that it is out and I've seen what some other people that have played it are starting to say, like Jeff Grubb, it posted something. I was like, wait, you could do that? Mm-hmm. I didn't even know. Mm-hmm. It was like, it's crazy. Like there's still so many other things out there. I know Jason Schreier is another one that's been really big into this.
He has Rebecca like 150 hours in.
Yeah. Rebecca Valentine is literally the PR for this game because she has been selling it to everybody. But that's the point. There's so many layers to this and people are talking about stuff that I didn't even experience. I didn't even know you could do that are still in this game that you will absolutely be encouraged to want to do multiple runs because that replayability is there. Now, I've talked a lot. That was my synopsis. I guess, but I'm dying to know what you think of Blueprint.
Well, I don't think it's going to be surprising that I have positive things to say, but I will start with, why have I become like the contrarian of the channel? I will start with what frustrated me.
Okay.
I am a gamer who has very little time to play games. This point in my life, I'm a new mom. I have my own business. We have a big house that we're trying to do spring cleaning. And so there are some moments where I approach my little, you know, hour, 2 hours of game time. And I'm like, I want to do something fun and or productive. Like those are like my two options in my game time. A lot of times that ends up being Marvel Rivals, which is just pure fun. A lot of times that ends up being a game like Blueprints, which feels really productive. And even when I hit a dead end and I'm like, okay, I have like say 20 steps or 30 steps left. What can I do in this puzzle of rooms that I have built out in this particular run in my 5x9 grid? Like, is there anything else I can squeeze out of this? And then I hear a cry on the monitor and then I have to go upstairs. And then I come back to it 20 minutes later after putting the baby back down and I have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
This is a really hard game to pause. It's a really hard game to play distracted. It is not a play and do something else in the background kind of game. You need, and I will stress this, you need, the game even explicitly tells you, you need a note-taking app or a notebook. You probably want to be able to take pictures of stuff so that you can remember what they look like. I'm on day 19. I'm about to start day 19. I've made a lot of progress in several different directions of goals that I have set for myself, one of which is reaching the mysterious 46th room. Many others that have very little to do with reaching that. And I'm on about 8 pages of notes in my little Respawn notebook. I love playing this game. I hate not being able to play this game. So the criticism is the game makes it hard to put down and pick back up. There's no easy pause on console or Steam or PC. So I'm playing on a Steam Deck because it has a really easy suspend state. And I power it back on and it comes right back up to wherever I was on the last screen. So that's really great. Mm-hmm. I know that's not native to all of the different platforms where you can play this game. So I will say that if you're a person who needs to pause unexpectedly in games, just be prepared for that. That's the kind of gamer I am right now. And I just want people to understand it. That's truly the only criticism that I could come up with, because everything else about this game is delightful. It is a really, really, really impressively accomplished puzzle game. Sure. It's a very successful roguelike in that every run you do, even a quote unquote failed run, earns you something. And I'll come back to what those things could be. As spoiler-free as possible. the music is actually really engaging. There are some moments where I've done something and a music cue happens. I'm like, whoa, because I didn't realize how accustomed to the music, the ambient sounds I had already been, to the point where once one small thing shifted, it alerted me like, oh, this is new information. What am I doing? I opened my eyes because of music. That was fun. I still don't know what that is. I'm not going to talk about it on the show. But there are so many layers to what this game teaches you how to do and teaches you to observe that you could go through a room 50 times. And then on the 60th time you go into a room, you have a new thing you're looking for. And when I say the room, the way that the game plays out, like what you're actually doing is you walk up to a door. You hopefully are able to open it. It could either have a lock or other things on it. But once you open a door, three floor plans will pop up. And this is from a pool of, oh God, I can't remember the full number. It was like 100 and something potential floor plans. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's where the RNG comes in. Yeah.
And that's where the RNG comes in. So each day, your grid of 45 will be a random assortment of, a random 45 number assortment of these rooms. And three will pop up when you go to a door. You can pick one of the three. Sometimes you have the ability to re-roll. Sometimes you can't see them at all. there's different things gameplay-wise that will make that easier or harder for you. But you decide which room you want. As Paris said, sometimes it could be a hallway. Sometimes it could be a kitchen. Different rooms have different benefits. Different rooms have different doors to potentially exit and keep progressing. Some of them are dead ends. Some of them have special things that happen once you're in them. And you choose a room. You move into it. You decide what to do. You move forward or back or sideways or whatever. That is like, honestly, it becomes such second nature that you almost feel like Neo in the Matrix, where you're just like drafting rooms like, here, I need this, and here, I grab a coin, here, I get a key, and you're just like moving so fast. By the time you get through a few runs, you really feel like a genius, and then you hit something and you get an item like a magnifying glass, and then you're like, oh shit, wait, I don't know anything anymore, and you're back to square one. Yeah. But even when you end that, like, you still have the information. And you've still learned something new that you can take into the next day. That's another layer. There are several other layers to understanding what you're doing in this game that I can't even go into without being spoilery, because truly, you play through runs, and I'll say, let's say 10, 15 runs, and then you hit something new and you feel like you're starting a whole new game five or so times before you even get to what I would call endgame. And that's not even endgame, because there are so many threads to pull on. Like, if you like escape rooms, you will love this game, because there's always something else to notice that you weren't looking for before. But once you have more information, you come back to the same room, you feel like it's with fresh eyes. And I think that's the really magical part of this game that I can't resist. Like, it keeps me coming back, even when I get frustrated that I had to stop in the middle of a run.
I think the best way to say what you're talking about is, just because you go into a room that you're familiar with and you solve one mystery or puzzle in it, mm-hmm. doesn't mean that there isn't two or three more in that very same room.
Yep.
And you just won't discover it the first time. And that's mm-hmm. the beauty of what you're saying, is you will go five or six runs down the road, because now that you've got additional information or a new item, it unlocks something else in that room that you never knew was there in the first place. And that's the wild part about it, is having these like you said, this is why you have to take notes. This is why you play on PC screenshots of, mm-hmm. of these things so that you can reference back to previous runs of something that you've done that now that you have this new item or information. Oh, now I can use this here. And oh, I could go. Mm-hmm. Wait a minute. Is this another? I do not want to spoil this because I cannot stress this enough. You want to go in this. You want that satisfaction of you figured it out yourself. That's what I'm trying to say here, mm-hmm. because that is just it hits that. What is serotonin? Is that how you say it?
That's one of them.
It hits whatever hit fix it hits is what I'm trying to tell you is because you feel so satisfied being able to do these things. And to what Reed was even just talking about is there's the main thing of getting to that 46th room. Mm-hmm. That's just the beginning.
It's just one of the objectives.
There's so many other things, and I don't want to spoil it. I can't spoil it.
I can say some other things spoiler free. And yeah. Just dump more praise on this game, because obviously if you're listening to this review, you've probably heard of it at least a little bit from some other content creators, and everybody's just obsessed with it for good reason. The story is actually really engaging, and part of what is driving a lot of people to keep unlocking more mysteries and finding more clues and chasing them down. Your great uncle, Sinclair, leaving you this house. Why did he do that? Like, you're just a little nephew. Why did he do that? Why is he testing you? Like, what happened to him? All of these things are very, very intriguing. And of course, you know, it's a family. They got a lot of secrets. There's a lot of skeletons that you're digging up. I really love that. I don't know, Tonda Ross, the director of this game, and the developer is Dagubom, but definitely Tonda Ross is being looked at as like the main architect, and the Artur is straight up mad genius. I heard him talking on the Easy Allies podcast with Isla Hink and I'm sorry, a guest that I can't remember his name, but they obviously both love the game and were talking as spoiler free as they could. So they were speaking more about like design and the approach and a little bit more broadly so that they wouldn't get into details. One of the things that they picked up on is how when you enter a room, it changes the facade depending on where it's drafted. So let's say you draft a boudoir in the middle of the house, so in rows or columns 2, 3, or 4, it will look a little different than if you drafted it in column 1 or 5, because then it has to have windows. It's on the outside of the house.
Right.
And then you look outside the window and there's stuff there, and it makes the room a little different, and there might be something to that. And so there's just like so many details. And the director, Tonda, was talking about the fact that he's never seen the same run twice. And
I think that's impossible. I honestly think that's impossible to do.
There's so many different ways to roll credits that at least from the few people I've heard and looking in the reviewer Discord, as spoiler free as I can, nobody has done the same things. And there's so
many. Can I pause you really quick?
Yeah.
I stay far away from that Discord. I don't know nothing.
I get it. They're very good about spoiler tagging in that Discord. Yeah. And shout out to Discord for having spoiler tags to begin with. But yeah, I just find it so fascinating that of everybody that I've heard from and talked to, there's still surprises even for people who have played almost, you know, 200 hours of this game. And not that you need a long experience to make it good, but it's just impressive that it is possible with something that you could technically beat in 15 hours. And I just really enjoy that longevity. I enjoy the creativity, the artistry, like even down to like the color choices and the art style. It's just all so intentional and so well executed. I mean, it's a game that was just clearly made by people who love the game. And I think you don't 100%. See enough of that these days. And I want more things like this, and hopefully we get them. I don't know how the hell you make a sequel to this exactly, but I know that there are a lot of games similar to this. We've mentioned a few different genres, but I would say if you like a Hades, if you like an Oberden, if you know the Outer Worlds, like there's just a lot of Outer Wilds. I'm sorry. I always do that. Outer Wilds.
Yeah, same.
The games where you keep unlocking more and more layers to the same, quote unquote, same environments. I think you'll really enjoy this one. And it is definitely on the game of year list for me. And
Oh, yeah. it is at the top of it for me, because what you just touched on is why. You can probably roll credits on this in 10 to 15 hours if you really wanted to.
Yeah, you could.
But you're not going to want to. That's the point. There is so much replayability here because there's so many unanswered questions that you're going to want to get answered. And to your point about could they do a sequel? I think they could. Clearly, it would have to be a completely new protagonist, different location, different story. Like, I think everything about it, like, I think you can take the concept of this and drop it into another. Exactly. To where now there's all these other new mysteries and things that you need to unlock. But I do think a sequel would lose the factor. It would almost need to be an expansion in a way, because you would lose that initial, the initial wow factor of what Blueprints does of, wait a minute, what? I need to get this. You're already going to know that premise going in of, okay, there's going to be items that I need to find. There's going to be drafting this room over here is going to show me something different as if it came over here. So
the PR kit's going to come with a notebook. Everybody's going to already know.
Oh, you know that. They're going to big time play that up. I'm also happy that this is, I believe it's $29.99 to purchase, but it's on Game Pass day one, and it's on PlayStation Plus. I think you have to have the top tier version of PlayStation Plus to be able to get it. But there's other avenues. My point is there's other avenues to get this, so that they're opening it up to go try it. You know, if you got Game Pass or if you got that tier of PlayStation Plus, go try it. See for yourself if this is something that you like. I know conversations that I was having when I was at the Nintendo Switch 2 experience, you know, just talking to various people. Again, this game is coming up and we're talking about it and we're like, man, they need to put this on Switch 2. And we're like, yep, this needs to be on Switch 2. 100%. But it was the point of this is this year's Balatro in the way of this is coming out of nowhere. Nobody expected this. And I think by the time we get to the end of the year, it's going to be this huge hit. That is, like you said, it's going to be on a lot of Game of the Year lists for sure. Whether it wins or not, it's at least going to get nominated for a ton of stuff. And that's what excites me, that this is why I love video games, where you can take it took multiple genres, mashed it together in a unique way, and it basically unlocked a new genre as a result that I'm excited to explore. I'm still exploring. And like I said, we're not spoiling it now. We definitely down the road need to have a spoiler cast about this, because I think the whole point was let's let people discover a lot of this for themselves first. And then just because to the point of what you said before, everybody's run is different. No one's going to have the same run. So it's getting those collaborative stories together where we're sitting down talking about our different runs, things that we found. And, oh, you could do that. I didn't know you could do that. Oh, crap. Maybe I'll try that next time. Like, these are the water cooler conversations that are going to happen because of Blueprints. And yeah, I love it.
Yeah. Also, I just looked, if you're listening to this on the day we release, I think it's still on sale. So it looks like it's 10% off on Steam right now. So nice. $26.99. Again, highly recommend playing on Steam Deck if you're a pause dependent gamer, because it makes it a lot easier to come back to it. I know on Xbox you have Quick Resume. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure how that works on Play Anywhere, but just a fair warning, right? If you need to stop in the middle of a run, there's no real easy way to do it. And that can be very frustrating depending on the platform you choose. So choose a platform that works best for you, as always. And I can't wait to do a spoiler on this one. Also, highly recommend playing with a friend or like somebody in the room as well, like a backseat driver or
a second set of eyes.
On the couch. Yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you're gonna miss. For anybody who does streaming, it's fun to play on stream. Like, get your audience involved, have them take the notes for you, make that part easier.
Well, speaking of that, you had alluded to it the other day, because I was watching Snowbike Mike
Mike and Kevin playing. It was so funny when he was like, I don't need notes.
And I'm sitting in there, I'm just laughing. I'm like, you have no idea what you're talking about. Yes, you do. So I didn't watch the whole stream. I know they did it for 4 hours, but it was hilarious seeing those early struggle bus moments, because I had them and I'm just laughing the whole time going, oh, you gonna learn. Don't worry. The arguments about turn that off.
Oh, we didn't turn that off. If we take a step here, we'll lose something. It's like, oh boy, you guys, you got so much to learn. But a shovel?
What do I need a shovel for?
But it's like watching somebody play the first few minutes after, you know, several hours, like, it's just so illuminating how much you've progressed. And again, the progression is not based on the amount of rooms you've unlocked or how far you've gotten or if you've even unlocked the final 46th door. It's knowledge. Like, knowledge is the true marker of progression in this game. And I think that's just so clever. And just congratulations to Tondaros, Doggy Bomb, Raw Fury, who's the publisher. Like, y'all did that. You did your big one. I'm very, very excited to see more people play this game. So if you haven't tried it, Paris just let you know all the places you can play it. Please give it a shot. It is worth your time.
Yeah, absolutely. And just to recap that again, it's available on PC, it's on Xbox, it's on PlayStation, and I would imagine it will eventually be on Switch as well.
This is a everything game. It might never come to mobile because text can get kind of small, but there's ways to zoom in.
And yep, 100%.
Hopefully we get an accessibility report from Steve Saylor soon.
I think he did.
Yeah?
I thought I saw him post something about that. I'll have to go back and review. But yeah, Blind Gamer Steve, definitely go check out his accessibility review for Blueprints. I'm pretty sure he's at least played it. I don't know if he put out an official review yet, but definitely be on the lookout for that.
All right. Well, thank you for joining me, Paris. I know this was a little quick aside, but we were both just so excited about this game. Yeah. We wanted to talk about it. And yeah, thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.